Relax, listeners, it's your magic time. Let's get ready for Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
Live it. Do it.
Cliff and Kendall, Cliff and Kendall, Cliff and Kendall, Cliff and Kendall, Cliff and Kendall.
Tell Mama all.
No. What pisses me off is that not only is the Earth dying, but and that we have to be here to witness it, is that it couldn't die where it gradually gets colder and colder and colder. It has to die where it fucking gets hot, 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 and every new day is like turning up the oven another notch. And we are the frogs that are in, yeah, and I'm using frogs in a sympathetic way. We are the frogs in the boiling pot of water. We are the lobsters that are being dropped into the boiling pot of water that Ellen and Mary Tyler Moore tried to rescue on that episode of Ellen. We are them as the environment kills us, Kendall.
Well, it's just turning into hell.
And nobody will do anything about it.
Well, you know what I'm going to do about
what?
It? What? I'm going to do a show about phones.
Oh, I forgot we had to do the stupid show.
Yeah, we're on the air right now.
But. Sorry, we're in the bank. So I know we're in the booth in the bank, but I really, it still doesn't feel like.
Oh, we're always in the booth. We're at the Third National Bank of Ecuador, and this is exciting. Get this. The bank sits right on the equator. It's just half of it's in the North Hemisphere, half of it's in the Southern Hemisphere, and we two are sitting on opposite sides of the planet right now.
Opposite sides of the planet. You thought we were the great debaters before.
No, we're coming to you from the Northern and the Southern Hemisphere. I mean, normally we our girth goes over both anyway.
What side are you on?
The South north? Side.
This, Kendall, this is, I will not have this southern war of aggression to us over here on this northern
hemisphere.
I honestly
did not mean that when I yelled it that way.
I don't know what you're talking about. I really don't, and I don't want to know, and I wish this whole thing had never been started. But here we are. We're in the bank, and we came because Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn and Mr. Snodbottom, you know, they've been working with the community here in Ecuador, mm-hmm. and they've been giving her rye speech.
Oh, she gave a really moving one the other day.
Oh, people took so many rye seeds. There's going to be so much rye grown in Ecuador because of her the other night.
Spreading the rye seed all over the world.
It was a big, big to-do the other night, the show. But, you know, we're here. She got to know the bank president. He mm-hmm. said, why don't you guys come see the bank before you move on to the next city? And so Mr. Snodbottom said, well, why don't you just set up the booth there in the lobby?
Well, you know, we're not going to get out of the hotel unless we can get to do a show.
Well, I know. I'm surprised this is not yet another show from our hotel room. But this is, we're actually in a bank.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I wish that we were withdrawing huge amounts of money to buy a new booth.
I'm having a little bit of PTSD trauma because I feel like any second people are going to come up to me and say, excuse me, sir, do you know how many checks you've bounced this morning?
Well, fortunately, you're not a member of this bank,
so
you'll be okay.
Fortunately, this is not my bank. Kendall, but ahoy hoy, this is not even a show about banks.
No, it's not.
It's a show about phones.
Oh, ahoy hoy.
Ahoy hoy. Do you know why we say ahoy hoy every time we answer the phone?
I know why we don't.
Oh, why?
Because, hello, one out.
Too nautical.
Too nautical.
Too nautical.
Too nautical. Did you know what Alexander Graham Bell was trying to call his old telephone before it became the telephone?
He wanted to call it the listening tube.
Oh, well, maybe he went through that phase, too. At first, to the harmonic telegraph.
The harmonic
telegraph.
Could
you imagine, like, I just got to go call Cliff on the harmonic telegraph.
On the old harmonic telegraph. Probably because he envisioned one day people like me making phone calls, and somebody like you, you'd answer the phone, hello, and I'd say, hello, is it me you're looking for?
perfect pitch of
Am I everything you want? I'm Lionel Richie. Was that the video where...
Like, is Michael Bublé calling me Michael on my phone? Bublé.
Is Michael Bublé doing home phone calls now? Is this where his career has gone? But is that the hello, my, Lionel Richie? Is that the video where it's the girl and she's making a bust of him? The blind girl? Is that that video? Or is that dancing on the ceiling?
You know I can't remember. They all run together in
exactly.
my brain.
Exactly. I should ask Fonky or Opie.
They'd know more than me.
They would know. They might have been on YouTube.
But, you know, I think that was in a music video.
I think it was. Kendall, what's your favorite thing about phones? The connection?
The connection that I have with
the
phone.
Human connection between poison to poison.
Well, I think we do honestly take for granted that you can pick up something and talk to someone that literally is across the world instantly. Like, that really, I don't have to say anything more than that. That should be the favorite thing about the phone. It's a marvel, and I don't know how it works.
I know. I was texting you earlier this week because Susan actually came into your hemisphere. And you guys went off. I don't remember where you went. Did you go back to Santiago, Chile? Or was I thinking that just because I kept singing that song?
No, she wanted chilies. She wanted to buy all those dry roasted chilies.
Oh.
We cruised on over to Peru
okay.
to get some.
All right. So I knew that you were away. But then I was texting you because I was having that really hard poop that day.
Uh-huh.
And I thought,
you always give me updates.
I've got to let him know that it's not coming out. And I was mm-hmm. texting our friend Rayanne, who does the voiceover, because she taught me about the poop swirl,
uh-huh.
where you swirl around
get
and you
all
rotate.
Out
it does work. And so I was doing that and texting her. I was FaceTiming a lot of people.
You multitask.
But anyway, that it is a marvel. All of that time shitting, I never stopped to think about the marvel in my hand.
You had a whole office right there in your bathroom.
I had a whole lot of stapling things, shredding and faxing. Kendall, what about the phone? What's your earliest phone memory?
My earliest phone? Well, I remember climbing up on a chair to like call my aunt. That was the first number I ever remembered. And I just remember that it was... 2580. The last number was zero, and I had to go all the way around for that one.
Her last four digits were what?
2580.
Oh.
Straight down the phone.
Oh, the last... This would be fun for the listeners. The last four digits of my social security number...
Could you go ahead and do the first three first?
All right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Isn't that weird? I used to call my grandparents on the phone, and it was... long distance, mm-hmm. even though they live 10 minutes away. But so, and isn't that weird, like the theory of long distance?
Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore.
Doesn't exist, we've broken the boundaries.
Yes, yeah. Of speed, light, and time.
Taking it all. Which, now, do you miss having the landline and that culture?
A lot of times I miss just not having a phone near you all the time.
Oh, boy. Isn't this the most lovely and beautiful bank you've ever seen?
Oh, it's wonderful, Dad. What a wonderful idea. Put it right here in the center of the equator, dear.
Oh, it's a marvel. You know, I was telling the bank president I think they should sell T-shirts.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea, Daffodil.
That is.
Oh, hold on one moment. I'm going to step over to the other side of the planet. One moment.
Oh,
isn't that fun?
Oh,
I wish I'd danced a moment on the equator.
Oh, I love being so close to the equator. I've never felt quite so connected to the Earth before.
I love being so close to you, Daffodil.
Oh,
so close to the equator.
You as well. I don't know what it is about being so near to the center of the Earth, but it really sets off your eyes.
You know, I don't mean to break up this big love fest, but we are in the middle of a show right now.
Oh, we are. I forgot.
Yeah.
We are. We're doing a show about about phones.
About phones.
Phone banks.
Yeah. Phones, I remember the first phone that I got, dear, and it was such a wonderful, it was a little rotary phone. Oh, no, actually, the first phone we got, you had to call the operator, dear. Do you remember that?
Oh,
Daffodil,
yeah.
Don't you remember calling the operator and talking?
I was always very nervous. I never was able to speak to the operator. Therefore, when I was home alone, I could never make a phone call.
Oh,
I would just pick up the receiver, and my throat would go dry.
Oh, well, dear, that's terrible. I would spend hours speaking to the operator. I would never get through to my call because we had such a great conversation.
Oh, that's... Now, did you guys ever live somewhere where you had a party line?
Oh, dear, not me, dear. That was improper etiquette where I'm from, dear. But I know many people that would call into the hotline and just listen, dear.
Oh, I know many people on my Uncle Pepperoni's street. You know, they had a party line. And sometimes I would be having a very important conversation. And suddenly you would hear laughter. And you would know someone next door was listening to it all.
Oh, what a terrible breach of etiquette.
I recall the first time I had a bowel attack as a young man. I called my mother at home and told her of how I soiled all the laundry, and then, oh no, suddenly I hear an eruption of giggles on the other line.
Oh, what a poor dear. That was a terrible thing that happened to you.
I've never recovered, dear.
I think we should call Dr. Blatter.
Oh my gosh.
This sounds like it's a deep-rooted thing.
This is, but we're here in the bank. And let's bring us back to the present.
Uh-huh.
We are here. Oprah says all we know for sure is this moment is the one that we have. So,
what a wonderful moment it is.
Oh, any moment with you, Sugarlum, is one of the great moments of all time.
Oh, dear, no.
Now, Sugarlum, I want to go over to one of the tellers and get another roll of nickels.
Oh, dear, I told you we have three already, but okay, dear. Let's go.
Oh, wait, you better go to that one counter where they exchange the money. I don't even know if they have nickels in this.
Wherever we are, they don't.
I know.
In Ecuador.
Ecuadorian nickels,
Ecuadorian,
I guess.
Ecuadorian nickels. Cliff, I don't know if you noticed this morning when we were loading up in that car to come over here.
Oh, those donuts that were on the continental breakfast table? No, I didn't. Didn't notice them.
I didn't see any donuts.
There weren't any there.
Well, that's a good thing because, you know, if you eat one donut every day... You gain a whole bunch of weight.
You gain a pound every 10 days.
Too damn much.
And I still want a f***ing dozen right now.
But no, not the donuts. The bellman. He was like such a jittery guy. Did you see him? He was like shaking and nervous. And he was like sweating from his brow. I was worried he was like coming down from drugs.
I know how you hate drugs. But I know he was... I thought maybe he just worked out. Maybe he'd been sweating to the oldies and didn't have time to, you know, towel off. He was still sort of bopping and bebopping to the... Calling out around the world.
I think that's just because you were
for a
listening
brand new
to that.
Summer's here and the time is right for dancing in the street. Grapevine.
Chicago.
Two more.
In the street.
Okay. Oh. Oh my God. See, I figured he was just doing that, but no, he was shaking a lot. Maybe he had, I don't know. One of those Kendall, it's not appropriate. Maybe he has one of those shaking diseases.
I don't know. I shouldn't talk about it. I'm sorry. Sorry I brought it up. Back to the phones.
But it was noticeable. But back to the phones. Now, I love the memories of just monopolizing. See, that's the fun of when you grow up. You monopolize the whole phone line when you're talking for hours to your friend Beatty on the phone. And
got a lot to talk about.
I know. And I did not have a phone... I did not have a phone, whatever, in my room. There wasn't a phone jack in the wall. There wasn't one in the wall. And so...
I was like, why didn't you just put a phone there? Like, I couldn't even remember the thought that you had to plug it into the wall.
I know, they plugged into the wall, into these things called phone jacks. And so I didn't have one in my room. And so I would always have to go downstairs and I would stretch the kitchen phone cord all through the kitchen. And then I would close the door to the living room. And so there's just the phone cord stretched the length of the kitchen, the entire diagonal length. And because I don't know what the hell I was talking to Beatty about, but.
But so everybody didn't need to hear it.
I was probably telling her the highlights of that day's Rosie O'Donnell show.
I'm sure that was the best thing to hear.
And I'd do it all again.
Now that's a party line.
Now that's a party.
Am I right?
You're exactly right.
Cliff, do you know what the...
You are exactly
if
right.
If you wanted to have the phone number 666-6666...
Oh, you got to sell your soul to the devil.
Pretty much. It's cost $1.5 million at an auction when they sold it back in 2007.
Wubba wubba.
Wubba weeba.
Wubba wubba wubba. Kendall, according to a recent survey, 47% of all water-damaged mobile phones in the UK have been dropped in the toilet.
Oh, well.
Kendall, have you ever dropped your phone in the toilet?
Cliff, I have not, but I...
That's me knocking wood.
1 week ago, almost to the day.
Oh.
I had it in my pants pocket.
On a day just like today.
Exactly. And I had been, you know, using the restroom.
Uh-oh.
And my pants, it like swung out of my pants pocket and it went boop, boop on the rim.
Oh, shit.
And then fell off. And I was like, thank God. Because, you know, I'd have been like, well, I have to leave it. You know me, I'm not going to dig into a public restroom toilet to get my phone out. It's like, it's done, I have to call hazmat.
You wouldn't?
Well, I'm sure you I would have would. To do something, but that would be horrible. I'd that have to take be. Four Xanax to get through it.
Oh, wasn't that the latest review of our show? I had to take four Xanax just to get through it.
I think four is a low number.
That's just for the first half of the show. Kendall, speaking of the first half, let's cut this show in half. But before we do, don't we have a segment that we owe the listeners?
Yes, we need to help some people.
Oh, let's help them.
It's time for Dear Cliff and Kendall.
All right.
I've been trying to say. Not happening. I got a letter right here. Hold on.
Oh, boy. Did I leave my checking deposit slip in here?
No, dear, I told you. Throw it in the trash here.
Oh, no. Why would I do such a thing?
Because you wrote the numbers wrong, dear. You wrote Cliff's social security number instead of yours.
Oh, that's right. His social security number.
Okay. I got a letter.
Yes.
If we're done with the interruption.
Take a letter, Kendall.
Okay. Here we go.
Put it in your face. Yeah.
I'll put it in your face. Clear. Dear Cliff and Kendall.
All right.
We need some advice. Recently, we hosted our annual holiday party and invited all of our neighbors and friends. Our invitation stated that the party would run between 5 and 11:30 so our guests could attend other parties that might be going on at the same time.
Right,
you know? Well, as our party was winding down, it was noticed that one of our guests, who had been at a previous party, had wet themselves on our sofa and covered the spot up with throw pillows. We served wine, punch, etc. at our party, but this couple arrived pretty tipsy already, and in the future, should we just not invite these neighbors? We are very distressed about this. What do you suggest? And that was titled Oops in Busheltown. Are you sure that wasn't Charles?
Oops, I did it again. Kendall, he doesn't do that sitting down. If they'd found
if they found a big stream of it all over the wall.
Yeah, if they found their potted fern overflowing. Instead of not inviting people, here's what you do. By the door, you have a big basket full of adult size diapers. And you say, hey, anybody that feels like they may go number one or two on my couch, how about you slip one of these babies on, and it's just that kind of party.
Good idea. Alexa.
Great idea.
Add diapers to my next party list.
Oh, God.
Because I'm going to need some with Charles. Anyway.
Kendall, I keep telling you to cut out the Alexa jokes. I cannot handle them. Oh, let's see. All right, I've got a letter here. Let's open this mother up. See what she's got to say. Oh, it says, oh dear, Cliff and Kendall. It says, I recently attended a formal wedding where I witnessed something I thought was outrageous. Kendall and Cliff, when it came time for the bride to toss her bouquet, the bride's grandmother, who's well into her 70s, shoved the bridesmaids and young cousins of the bride aside and caught the bridal bouquet. Everyone was bewildered, Cliff and Kendall. I nearly dropped my cake. Kendall and Cliff, when it came time for the groom to toss the bride's garter, none of the young men tried to catch it, so it fell to the floor. One young man was coaxed into picking it up and placing the garter on Grandma's leg. Obviously embarrassed, he put it on up to her knee when Grandma urged him to go higher until it reached her thigh. Kendall, when one of the bridesmaids reminded Grandma that tossing the bouquet was a ritual intended for the young unmarried girls, Grandma shouted, "Well, I'm single." And everyone applauded. Cliff and Kendall, what do you think of Grandma's behavior?
Oh, I love it.
And that is signed, bewildered newlywed in Busheltown.
Well, I for one love it.
Oh,
I think it's great. I think let her do what she wants. She's old. that is the kind of thing that I would have loved to happen at my wedding. Some old woman just pushing all the bridesmaids down. That's a story.
Well,
you never
I'm sorry
forget.
That it was me and it was not.
I tried to tell you, it was all single ladies.
Single ladies. And then I tried to dance to that whole song.
It wasn't even out yet.
It was a foreshadowing moment that time. Kendall, what is that? Who's that guy with a mask on over there?
Why? You take that off before you come in the
bank.
It's
not Halloween.
What's under his jacket? What is that?
Is this hot dogs? Dynamite.
Oh my God, Cliff.
He said everybody down?
We can't get down. We're too fat. We won't.
Kendall, just bend over. Bend over. Kendall, just bend over as far as your fat will allow.
Cliff, what are we going to do?
I don't know. We're under siege. We've been taken hostage in this bank.
Where's my... Do you have a phone?
Oh, no, Kendall. I left my phone outside because it was one of those things, you know, a zen moment. I was going to try to not go on Instagram and a bunch of Jake Gyllenhaal pics during the show like I usually do.
I'm proud of you for de-stressing, but we could use the phone right now. Mine's in the back pocket. Do you think you could reach it with all this stuff?
I can't reach over. You know I don't care. It's not like I'm not afraid of losing my hand and your butt fat. I'll do it, but I just can't reach that far.
Well, hold on. Let's see. We better take a break.
Gotta take a break.
I'm going to try to turn around and see if we can get our phone.
Wait, Kendall, he's looking over at us. Get down.
Hey, don't shit yourself. Cliff and Kendall will be right back.
You know, you're doing a great job, but you're not using all your assets. With a body like that, you can go places.
Sexual harassment makes you feel like less of a person. For help and hotline numbers, ask for the Stop Sexual Harassment booklet at your public library.
Be a little more sexy. Hey, we're talking about your job here.
No, we're talking about sexual harassment here. And I don't have to take it.
Sexual harassment violates you, and it violates the law.
I believe fat people are people too. And you've never heard fat people like this before. Let's get back to Cliff and Kendall.
He's over there yelling at those other people.
Well, he heard us when we belched earlier.
Oh, he heard you when you belched.
Well. Hey. Look, we've decided the show must go on, as always. So even though we're under heavy siege here with dynamite, and we're doing the show.
I think we are probably the safest of all because we're in the booth, and God forbid the dynamite does go off. We're saved by the booth, right?
I don't think this is bulletproof glass.
No, it's not bullets. It's an explosion.
It's worse.
And, I mean, Charles the contractor put this together, and definitely he did his best contracting. And, you know, today here in the booth at the Equator in Ecuador at the Third National Bank. I remind you
of the desk he put together.
What desk?
Exactly.
I have something I wanted to tell you.
Okay.
Not about the black lesbian from the Best Buy commercials.
Oh.
Kendall,
I don't want to hear it.
Kendall, I don't know. I don't know if I should tell you this or not. It's not anything bad. It's just potentially 10 minutes of very boring. But since when has that stopped
us? Since when has that ever stopped
you? It was like, it was when you went to Peru with Susan, right? You were gone. And so I had the rental car from Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn and Mr. Snodbottom.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't tell anybody where I was going because I didn't want to make a big deal of it. But I went, I had to drive like an hour and a half away from the motel because I was auditioning for Peruvian Idol. And I thought, why are you laughing?
It's fun. It's
because
so funny.
Because you're like, naturally. like that. Like when people said John Goodman should play Fred Flintstone in the Flintstones movie. It's like, naturally. Of course.
That's it.
So, but anyway, so I had to leave really early. And I knew it was going to take an hour and a half. And I really thought that I could follow the dot on the phone and get there on time and everything. Unfortunately, I took every wrong turn possible. And I was... Do you? You're better at this, but I can be looking at the phone, and I was, you know, in the rental car, and yes, I was trying to change the radio station at the same time, but I was looking, you know, at the dot, and it's, I can't tell if it's I should go, the veer off one exit or keep going straight, you know,
because
the dot, I don't know. It's,
I mean, I'm really good at direction and reading maps, but I still, like, will go the wrong direction sometimes. Completely.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so I did that multiple times. And honestly, it was absurd because on the way, then you'll laugh because you'll know how far out of the way this was. I wound up back at the airport where we flew into.
Oh, my God.
It was not anywhere near where the auditions were. I not only went to the airport, because what possessed me to get off at the exit that said airport? Because it had a plane, and I thought, okay, I've been there. I can get around and come back out, right? Because there is an exit to the airport. But of course, I got in the lane for long-term parking in the parking garage.
Because that's what you meant to do.
Because that's what I meant to do. And I had to get a ticket from the machine and then go in, and I didn't park, and I had to tell the, and I came immediately back out and told the man at the ticket booth.
I accidentally drove into the airport.
I said, I didn't even park. I just want to leave. And he looked at me like I was absolutely insane, and he did not, like, he didn't know I was going to be the next Peruvian Idol. And so, but anyway, finally I got out. I was like an hour later than I thought I would be.
Oh my God.
And so I was at the end of this, you know, I hate waiting in lines.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought I'll get there early. I will do my song and then, you know, get, not have to wait, and then I can be out and back. But oh my God, I wait in this long, long line. And then I finally get in there. I do the Bohemian Rhapsody American Pie mashup that I did at Mr. Johnson's funeral a few weeks ago. And because I'd been rehearsing it so much. And
you
I barely got through. Mama just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled the trigger, now he's dead. I said, bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my levee to the Chevy, but the levee was dry. And they cut me right off. And I know why. I didn't even take it personal, because it's the kind of thing. It's exactly like if on American Idol, but in Peru, if they see somebody who's too perfect come through, like if they were having auditions and it's like Lady Gaga just came in out of nowhere and she's like, whoa. They're going to say no, because you know why? Takes all the drama out of the reality competition when you know who's going to win from day one. And so that's obviously what they saw with me.
I think you just, it's because you interchanged Chevy and Levy.
No.
You said I took my Levy to the Chevy.
That
was it.
That's an artistic choice, Kendall. you don't know anything about art.
Oh.
And so anyway, which... tell me something I don't know.
Well, I wasn't right. Fighting you.
Fight it. You want to fight? Let's fight. Okay, I will go out there and get the bombs strapped to that man.
Cliff, no. Aren't we in enough danger?
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Kendall. I'm trying to take your mind off this stressful situation.
I forgot what even was even happening.
That we're in. I know. So, well, lucky for you, we're 1/8 of the way through this story. So, all right.
Well, at least we're all going to die happy.
So I left the audition, and I knew exactly why, and I was telling myself, okay, this is why, you know, you're too good, Lady Gaga comes in, etc. And I was driving, and of course, and I sort of knew better on the way back where to go, because I'd come so many different ways.
Because you did so well before. The first time around.
Yeah. I was not paying attention to the gas gauge on the car And because I was thinking about the audition, so anyway, which is another really annoying thing that I do all the time. It's where if I am ever lost and 90 miles away from a gas station, that's when I the empty light comes on. So the empty light came on. And I was like, well, shit. And I was so mad, and I was just in a rage, because I thought, mother this is a little... But finally, I got off. I found a gas station, okay?
Uh-huh.
Pull up to the first. He's texting everybody. Kendall has pulled out his phone.
Well, are the you, story is so long.
Are you texting at least someone saying, help, we're stuck in the... bank?
I was seeing if I had any service, and I don't.
Well, if you're...
I needed saving from the bomb and the story.
If you're gonna just not even pay attention, why don't you at least look and see if we've made the news yet, okay?
We haven't.
We haven't, damn it. So, anyway, I was hoping for a bump in our clicks and downloads if we were caught on the news.
I don't even know what that meant.
But the first pump that I pulled into didn't even work. And uh-huh. I almost... exploded the gas station from rage.
If you had a hard drive, it would have exploded.
Yeah, it would have. So then I pulled into another pump, and it worked, and I filled up. And then as I was leaving, this young woman comes up to me, and she's like, can you give me a ride to my babies down the street?
Oh, my God.
I was in a very terrible mood. And even though I knew why, not even because of the Peruvian idol, it was because of the driving and getting lost in gas station. I know that it's Lady Gaga came in from the street.
We know.
And so it's no drama in the show.
No drama.
But anyway, she came and she said, can you please take me down the street to my babies? And I thought, well, I guess so. And so I said, well, let me get these food wrappers and things out of the front.
How do you
seat.
Feel about going back to the airport?
Yeah. Lucky for her, right? She, if she missed the airport, and when I was like, I guess we're going to run out of gas, so hopefully you could, don't mind just walking. But anyway, she got in, and she was a really nice girl, and I drove her all the way home. She originally said, could you drive me to the bus station? Then when I let her out, she's like, okay, I live right there. So she just thought I was so much fun. She wanted to stay in the car with me.
Who wouldn't?
But she was really nice, but she asked me about, like, oh, do you have a lot of friends? And she said, I'm sort of shy. I don't have a lot of friends. And she's like, do you have a lot of friends? And I said, well, I was taking her back. I was like, well, I have like some friends from college and this terrible podcast that I do. And I thought that would shut her up, but it didn't. And she's like, oh, do you like smoking hookah? And I love to smoke hookah. If you ever want to like get together, have some drinks and smoke hookah, we can. And I was like, oh, well, or if I do, I'll let you know. And so it was just very odd, but I took her home, and of course I felt like a saint, Jesus at that point.
God,
and well,
you were Jesus at that point.
I was at that point. Then I was just so upset earlier in the day, but then I capped it. I didn't. It's not even capped off yet, folks.
I see a big scroll more of paperwork he has.
This is just page one. I listened to the Paula Poundstone podcast. Which is just fantastic and really upped my spirits. Okay. And as I came back into the motel that day, there was one of the chambermaids who, we'd been talking to all throughout the week and stuff. She was really nice. And I'd been talking to her. I'd mentioned that you were off the sauce. But she said, oh, but are you on the sauce? And I said, I can take some sauce. And so she said, okay, I've got these bottles of wine left over from my wedding, and I'll give you one because they're my whoever needs to get them out of their house because there's too many. And so I said, okay. And so she gave me this bottle of wine. I saw her in the hall. She gave it to me, and I went back to the room, and I thought, okay, I'll have this wine, listen maybe to another Paula Poundstone episode. But I couldn't get the cork was like, it wouldn't come out. Corkscrew. Do you know what?
Yeah, yeah.
Why was that?
Well, sometimes, especially as an older bottle, they just won't work right. It'll get corked or it'll like just break apart.
Broke apart.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's why, like, with really old bottles, like from the, but like people from the, like, are out at the vineyards and they will take a sword and they'll hit the bottle off the top. Uh-huh. They do that because there's no way to cork out without damaging it. So uh-huh. they pop the top off to pour it. So that's why they do
that. It's like they cut the top off.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it breaks the glass below the cork. And that's, like, what they pour.
Okay. Because that's, I thought, well, I could smash this against something and just cut my face open drinking it. But anyway, of course, I couldn't open it. I just threw it away with all the pieces of the cork. Uh-huh. And, of course, the next day, the lady, she asked me, did you like the wine? I was like, it was so good. Thank you.
Well, see, obviously, you were never as heavy on the sauce as I was, because I got out a strainer and I poured the wine through. Strainer to get the cork out and drink it.
But anyway, so it was just the craziest day, and then but it ended on a really wonderful note because, as you well know, you weren't even there; you were in Peru. but Mrs. Potter, but a butter turn. She called me at the end of the day. I thought, okay, we've got this big day of folding pamphlets and stuff the next day, mm-hmm. but it got bumped, and so I had the whole next day open. Well, that- so it's like, oh. There's like a beautiful, gift at the end of the day.
And now you're here.
And now I'm here. Oh, shit. Oh, look, here he goes. Oh,
my. Have you seen what's happening out
where
here?
Where did you guys come from?
Oh, we crawled
all over here.
I think, Sugarlum, is that man, is he negotiating with someone on the phone?
Yes, dear, it seems like they're trying to talk him off the cliff, so to speak, dear.
Oh, about me? He's talking about me?
Sorry, dear, it was a metaphor. Anyway, dear.
How are we ever going to get out of this mess, dear?
Dear, what about the children?
Oh no.
Last time we saw them, they were at the hotel, being taken care of by that very nice woman. No. It's very trustworthy.
I can't have them thinking that their parents exploded in a bank robbery.
Oh, dear, that's terrible, dear. No. We have to get out of this predicament somehow.
Mrs. Potter, better turn. Why don't you talk to everybody all over the world about rye and about Busheltown and about etiquette. And so I bet that you could really connect with him if you just, you know, as person to person, he's got a mask on and you have that doily collar, but you're still just people.
Well, yeah, I don't know if he's interested about rye, but I could talk to him about all sorts of subjects, I guess.
Oh, I don't know, Sugarlum. It could be very dangerous trying to talk us out of this hostage situation.
Dear, someone has to do it for the children.
Oh, dear, you know I love it when you take charge.
Oh, dear, well, that's what I'm going to do. He wouldn't talk to his mother with that mouth, so maybe he won't do that to me either.
Sugarlum, I'll be praying for you down here on the ground.
Well, we will be praying as well as we continue the show.
Oh, my God. Okay. What, there?
Excuse me, sir?
Oh, she's going to try.
Oh.
Right.
Oh, what's it? Oh, he does not look happy about this.
No. Why? He's pointing to the dynamite on his chest.
He's making a big, like, arm gestures with, like, explosives.
Oh, my. He's like, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, Mr. Stubber, I'm having a bowel attack right there on the floor.
He slipped it. Oh, my God. He's down on the ground.
I'm glad the dynamite didn't go off when he fell.
Oh, my God. I didn't think about that. That's terrifying.
Oh, my God.
He's not moving.
Somebody should look. Oh, Mrs. Butter Churn, she's got him hogtied with her scarf. Oh,
she kicked the detonator away from his hand.
Oh, thank God. Oh, my God.
Good, I am so hungry. I'm so glad that this terror is over.
Oh, there's so much terror in the world.
Do you think we could call, like, food delivery along with the police?
I've got to call I've got to call somebody, my God. All right. Oh. Yes.
We still have 2 segments left.
Exactly. I don't know what you're talking about.
I thought you were like, well, we gotta go.
No. Oh. I was again being the bearer of bad news. Sorry, this is just the middle of the show.
You have another story?
I have another 9-minute soliloquy.
But I did forget. Oh, we're talking about telephones. That's
telephone.
What we're talking about on
the
show.
I love the phone.
Now that this disaster is over, we can get back to our topic at hand.
Breathe again. Breathe again. Remember that Toni Braxton song?
I do.
Thank God. God. Kendall, did you know this? Payphones are still used today, by 5% of the population at least once a year.
And that 5% don't even know how to use them, probably.
Listen to this elitist bitch.
Elitist? I'm talking about like the old people because they have landlines still.
I think you're talking about the poor. The
I
very
was not
poor.
Talking about the poor, Cliff.
You're talking let them, if there's no poorhouses, why not send them to prison?
They'd rather die first, Cliff.
Well, then let them. Let them decrease the surplus population.
Cliff, did you know Mark Twain? He was one of the first people to have a phone.
Was he?
Yes, he was.
Well, who the f*** did he call?
He called Huckleberry Finn.
Tom Sawyer. You know, I love
you. A lot of publishers.
Touchtone phones. Did you love the Touchtone back in the day?
Did I love the sound it made?
Sure. The sound?
No.
The button pushing?
I didn't really understand that that's how the whole Touchtone, like when you would call and punch in numbers worked.
Uh-huh.
I thought it just knew it was a number. I didn't realize it was the noise that made it happen.
Oh, was it the noise?
Yeah, that's why it's Touchtone.
Oh.
And like you could punch in a number and your like voicemail would hear it and do a certain thing.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's true. The first Touchtone phone was invented when? Do you know?
1974.
Oh, my God. Kendall, you think we're living in the dark ages? It's 1941.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You should have known that. God.
Damn.
Damn it. Kendall, the first cell phone, you won't believe this. But back in 1947,
47?
Researchers began theorizing that a mobile phone was possible.
I didn't believe it.
But
at first.
It would take just a short 40 years before the world's first one was commercially available.
Back in the old 80s, right?
Back in the old 80s. Oh, remember in Pillow Talk when Rock Hudson, he had the car and the phone. The phone and the car.
The phone was so big it was the
it
car
was
and the phone.
So, yeah, it was just, and it made us Doris Day and all of us swoon.
Well, Cliff, did you know that for they had a moment, for a full minute, of no telephones ringing in 1922 when Alexander Graham Bell died? Nobody called anybody for a whole minute.
You know, some was out there like
one person.
I'm gonna call the funeral home where Bell is.
Oh, poor Bell.
What a damn shame. Kendall, what is the segment? What are we doing?
I've got some things that you need to know. Are you asking me something? You're asking me what I would do?
Oh, what would
if
you
I knew
do?
That there was a segment, what would I do?
What would you do?
Now, I'll tell you what I'd do.
Kendall, I hate to break it to you. I got so scared over here with this hostage situation.
Uh-huh.
And I thought we were never going to eat again, and there were no mints or any snacks in the booth here. And so out of fear, I ate my what would I do questions. And so I don't have any for you, but why don't you, what would I do to me?
I ate these Taco Bell sauce packets over here.
Oh, that's, I wonder what little things you were sucking on.
Well, I needed something. Cliff, you receive a package.
Package.
With a DVD inside.
DVD.
You have to
search.
For a while. You have to search for a while to find a device to play it in. But when you
well,
do.
Well, I've got a DVD player.
Okay, I guess so.
I'm not living with you and the Jetsons, okay?
Okay. When you put in your DVD player, Cliff, to play it.
Yeah.
It gives you a very specific mission.
Oh.
You are tasked with sneaking into a Busheltown public library and destroying any records related to Cliff and Kendall coast to coast because it turns out there is a plot to kill us and we must enter the witness protection program. Your DVD player says it's going to self-destruct.
Oh, no.
And you have to complete that mission. What do you do?
Or the DVD player self-destructs?
No, you have to complete the mission. I forgot what I'm even talking about.
I have to destroy
You have to destroy all the information about Cliff and Kendall coast to coast.
No, not doing it.
All right, you'd rather die.
Yeah, give me Cliff and Kendall or give me death.
Just nobody passed the test.
Oh, boys, thank goodness we've all passed the test. We've survived.
Oh, hallelujah, dear, amen.
Oh, praise Christ.
Oh
amen.
That we're saved, dear. Yes. We're saved.
It was all up to you, dear. You distracted him while, I had, boys, I don't know if you noticed, but I had an unfortunate bowel attack.
Yes, dear, but it did save the day.
It seems the robber, he slipped on a bit of bowel waste.
We saw the whole thing.
We saw. It was crazy.
You are the hero.
It was, I bet there's a Medal of Honor somewhere, or at least a key to the city somewhere.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea, Daffodil. We should check into that.
Oh, let's go, dear. Let's ask the president of the bank. Oh, he's probably not very busy.
Crockpot, do you know where the president is?
No.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, Cliff, I have another What Would I Do for you?
I would hope so. All right.
Yeah, Mrs. Potter Butterbusher, and speaking of her,
right,
she's just being diagnosed with an incurable disease. And your bone marrow is the only thing that will save her. Unfortunately, you will almost undoubtedly lose your perfect pitch if you have the operation. She has promised you her collection of doilies either way, so it's either a gift or in her will. She, of course, understands if you can't do it.
Now,
what do you do?
Because here's what would happen. She would not let me do that to the world.
Do what? Oh, your perfect. Remove your perfect pitch.
Remove. Yeah.
She's very selfless.
She doesn't want. She would not silence the nightingale that comes into the room.
You know, you're probably right.
She wouldn't do it. It would be like saying, you know, get rid of the Niagara Falls or the Grand Canyon.
That is what I would equate your perfect pitch to.
Yeah. She all wouldn't right. get rid of them.
Well, do we have time for one more? I know
we've
we're
got
going
all
into the sixth hour of the show. But
listen, Kendall, it just feels like 9 hours because we've been in the middle of a bank robbery hostage situation.
My whole life last month.
Yeah.
Cliff, you've been given a pie that smells really good. You decided to not wait and share it with all of us
right.
because it's just too long until we get back.
Too long.
So you eat the whole thing.
Yeah, sounds like me.
Good golly, it's tasty.
Good golly, it's funny.
The person that gave you the pie comes in and yells, oh my god, I mixed up the pies. That pie was meant for Charles the Contractor. And in it, it was for his sexual time. And in it, it had a lot of his own poop and laxatives. What do you do?
Kendall, this is like the 80th time that you have posed this scenario. What if you just ate a pie full of doo-doo?
Well, I haven't gotten an adequate answer yet.
Kendall, listen, I'm too busy living for love to get down about this. All right, listen, we've all there, but for the grace of Buddha and Oprah, do we go, right?
Yes.
Up to the mountaintop.
what would you do?
I would
die.
And just I would go kill Charles first, and then I'd die.
Oh, Kendall, that's no way. No
it's
way
my
to go.
Way, Cliff, and I did it my way.
Oh, God. Kendall, let's change.
See what happens
the
when
subject.
You eat your what would I do question?
See, this that'll learn me.
That's something you should have known.
Yes, it is.
And so are these things, Cliff.
All right.
It's things you should know.
Things, things you should know.
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 What title character's previously excised bath scene with Elliot was restored for a 20th anniversary re-release?
E.T. phone home.
Oh, hope he found home to tell him all about it. I wonder if E.T. had a butt double in the bath scene.
A little small butt double.
Little small butt double.
With what menu item prompted Tyson to develop an extra-large breasted chicken called the Mr. McDonald?
I thought you were going to say called the Cliff and Kendall.
No, that was before our time.
Chicken nuggets.
Yes. Chicken McNuggets.
McNuggets, right. Of course, McNuggets.
Don't forget the Mc.
Don't. I wouldn't. I couldn't. I never could. What late author's ashes were stolen at a costume party at Joanne Carson's house?
Jimmy
Carson.
Johnny Carson.
Yes, the late author Johnny Carson.
Oh, Arthur. Arthur.
He was a known Arthur. He was really one of the Cliff and Kendalls of his time. Truman Capote.
Oh, good old Capote.
Can you imagine, Kendall, if I'm going to haunt the shit out of you if my ashes are stolen at a party at your house.
I won't let them out of my sight.
You better not.
All right, Cliff. What stage hit prompted Newsweek to quip, "Funny how the word monologue scares people in Hollywood"?
Jay Leno.
No.
No?
No! The vagina monologues.
Oh. Okay.
But a hilarious retort.
True honesty. I heard nothing of the question except monologue. So I thought it's probably Jay Leno.
I feel like, well, you'll hear it.
I'll hear it later. I'll hear it in the reruns. Gandalf, finally from me. What nation had 5% of the world's population and 25% of the world's prison population by 2000?
America.
And I proudly stand up.
This is America.
Next to you and remember still today. And there ain't no doubt we're imprisoned in this land. The USA.
Cliff, what sport crowns a Miss Pit Spit?
Hufflepuff. I meant Quidditch.
No, Cliff.
Not Quidditch.
Cherry Pit Spitting.
Oh.
But Hufflepuff is a close second.
Oh my god. They are giving him the key to the city, Mr. Snugbug.
Oh, look at him.
He is sitting there taking the picture.
Get a picture with the bowels.
Well, it's evidence. It's evident. All right, well, listen, Kitty, we've got to wrap this show up.
Yeah, I'm so tired. This has been a long show.
It's just another show where we've lived a whole life in the show.
Well, Cliff, I got a good quote to end this one with.
Do it.
Middle age is when you're sitting at home on a Saturday night and the telephone rings and you hope it isn't for you. That's Ogden Nash.
Ogden, you had to go from preaching to meddling.
Amen.
Oh my god. Alright, well, Kendall, I'm Cliff.
And I'm Cliff, I'm Kendall.
Alright.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. Binge listen to more episodes at Cliff and Kendall. .podbean.com.
Small butt double.